It's the year 627 BCE, give or take a year or two. Josiah is the king of Judah, but has not yet initiated his religious reforms as accounted in the second book of Kings. Storm clouds are brooding to the north as the Babylonian Empire gains in strength and greed. Jeremiah is at the beginning of his prophetic ministry, railing against Israel's waywardness from the law of God, and worst of all, Israel's continued unfaithfulness when it comes to idolatry. Jeremiah indicts the people for their inability to stay faithful for God, saying, "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water." In the ancient world, and even today in places that experience water scarcity, cisterns were seen as security against the unpredictability of rain and siege by enemy forces. But cisterns were untrustworthy and expensive. Cisterns required excavation and complicated engineering that often failed. Inevitably, cracks opened up and the precious water seeps out. And even if you could get the cistern to hold water properly, still water is a vector of disease. And even if you could keep the cistern crack-free and clean, there's still another problem, which is the question of the water source. From where will this water come? Will the drought break? Will the rain fall? Will the enemy leave the aqueducts untouched? Ultimately, despite the immense costs and risks of building a cistern, you still find yourself back at the beginning, relying on the unreliable. When Jeremiah rails, "For they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves," Jeremiah is talking about idolatry of the storm god Baal and the civic and political affairs of Jerusalem 2,700 years ago. I know that, but I can think of no more apt description when it comes to receiving God's grace. It's been centuries, but humans have not changed that much. Instead of trusting in the unending wellspring of God's love for us, we build cisterns to give ourselves the illusions of security. Instead of drinking from a fountain of fresh and clean living water, we choose to painstakingly construct cisterns to hold still and fetid water. We convince ourselves that we need to earn love and then keep this muddy puddle of love for ourselves. The problem of the cistern is the problem of self-reliance. We spend our lifetime building ourselves up, spending time and money on education and careful investment so that we may be secure. We cultivate our personalities, creating the image of who we want to be. We construct our own worth in the eyes of others, and we come to believe that their esteem is our actual worth. All of this is a cistern just waiting to crack. When we place our worth in a cistern of our own making, we are one bad diagnosis, one tragic accident, one terrible investment away from our own worthlessness. No matter how proactive we are, no matter how deep or well-constructed that cistern, there is nothing that can insulate us from our human fragility. And when our fragility overcomes us, the tragedy of a lifetime spent building cisterns becomes apparent. When we fall on hard times, when we become sick or feeble, when we lose our usefulness in the eyes of others, what we discover is that what we thought we were hoarding, worth, esteem, security, is not actually love at all. If love is based on worth, that is not love. That is admiration. If love is based on power, that is not love. That is submission. And admiration and submission are nothing but poisonous counterfeits of love. That water is putrid. Do not drink of it. Love cannot be kept in a cistern, because God's love, genuine, true, and life-giving love, cannot be earned and it cannot be taken away. God's love is streams of mercy never ceasing. God's love is salvation's living spring. God's love is the wideness of the sea. God's love bursts forth, uncontainable and uncontrollable. And God's love is more vast than our imagination can hold. And all we need to do is come to this fountain of living water and drink. But there's a catch. There's a catch about drinking from this fountain of living water, and actually, there are two catches. Since water like this, love like this, is uncontainable, we don't get to decide who is in and who is out. We don't get to decide who is worthy of love and who is not. God's love inundates the world indiscriminately, and we are not authorized to build dikes or floodgates as if they could possibly keep God's love out anyway. And here is the second catch. Because love as vast as God's love cannot be controlled, love also cannot be earned. This means that we need to throw our Girl Scout sashes with our merit badges and special pins into the sea. We need to crumple up those degrees we paid so much for and toss them into. And our careers? Forget about them. When it comes to our true worth as beloved children of God, our careers are entirely beside the point. To drink from the fountain of living water, we must abandon the cisterns we've built for ourselves and come to trust in God's love as the only source of security and worthiness. We must learn to trust God's grace. Today we baptize these children into the vastness of living water that is God's love. We pour water on their heads as a sign that living water that cannot be controlled, nor can it be earned. As parents and godparents, this means letting go of our cisterned expectations, our ideas of earned worthiness for our children. And we try to learn to love them the way that God loves us, freely, unreservedly, and abundantly. And for the rest of us, we can remember our baptism, when we were given that fountain of living water and surrender to the ocean of God's redeeming love. You are loved beyond all measure. Nothing you can do or don't do will change God's love for you. So live that way. Amen.